The Lord spoke to me in prayer service on Tuesday morning, and we were sitting up here, and we were just worshiping, just such a beautiful, sweet spirit. And the Lord spoke to me, it's like fire shut up in your bones, because Daryl had asked me if I had anything to say in the prayer service, and I said, no, I don't. But as we began to sing, the Lord began to input into me. And when it went, after I was finished, and I shared a little bit, the Lord, when I sat down, the Lord spoke this to me. Darlene, it's like fire shut up in your bones. That's what the anointing of the Holy Ghost is to each one of us, if we'll be sensitive to it. And then, I don't know if it was Saturday. Was it Saturday, Luke, when the Lord, there was prophetic word begin to come forth from Luke on Saturday, just so special. And I really felt like I heard from God. And so maybe this will be so different for some of you that you maybe don't know a whole lot about the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I don't believe you're here just by chance. I know that we have a lot of people that are sick, people that are gone. And some of you are here that aren't normally here. But you know what? God knows. And so I'm just going to be obedient to the word of the Lord. And we'll just see where this goes, okay. But I'm going to talk about the fire of God. Because we are empowered by the fire of God, the Holy Spirit. We're going to go to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 2 through 4, and we're going to read. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which was separated and distributed, and which settled on each one of them. And they were all filled. They were diffused throughout their souls. Oh, we need some souls that are revived. We need some souls that are renewed to the presence and to the Spirit of God. But that's what happened on the day that they call the day of Pentecost, with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other different foreign languages and tongues, as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression in tongue in appropriate words. Pastor Dara, would you pray over the word?
Thank you, Father.
Our ears are anointed to receive the word.
Yes.
And I thank you today, God, that there will be a special, tangible anointing on Darlene as she ministers today, and we receive that word in Jesus' name.
Amen. When we are filled with the Spirit of God, we should walk different, we should talk different, we should act different, because you can't hide what God does inside of. And we don't want to hide the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is who resides in us. Jesus was a person. He can't reside in us. But the Spirit of the living God resides within us. We learn how to love differently. We act differently. When we enter a room, people should feel and sense that there's something different about us. They should sense that the presence of God is on our life. We're living today in an abnormal world, and people, they need what you have. They need the presence of God to walk into their midst. They need to know that there's hope. They need to know that God is a God that will not fail and will never turn his back on them. Spirit people that are filled with the Spirit of God can do things that others cannot do. And as I said on Tuesday morning, I really believe that God was bringing a breakthrough anointing into this house. And as I was sitting there, and I thought about Jeremiah. I want to talk about him just a little bit. He is a prophet in the Old Testament. And I know we live in the New Testament. Thank God we do. The book of Jeremiah again, and you'll be grateful all over that you don't live in that time. Thank God for grace, and thank God that It's a different age. I am so thankful for that. But we look at the prophet Jeremiah, and he was proclaiming, he was prophesying, thus saith the Lord, what the Lord would tell him. He would be prophesying that, and it was, time was hard, and as my daughter Tiffany says, God was an angry God in the Old Testament. You know, there's times, you know, he was very displeased with his people. Again, may I say thank you, God, for grace. Thank you for sending Jesus and making things right in the world for us. But in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah and God, they're having a lot of conversations. They're going back and forth. And it's so interesting. I would encourage you to read the book of Jeremiah. It's just really interesting. God will tell, Jeremiah would talk to God, and he would defend the disobedient Israelites. God would give him something to say, and he'd say, go tell them. And you know what God was telling them? It wasn't all good. In fact, it seemed really dark. If they don't get their act together, I'm going to destroy them, so to speak. And God will tell Jeremiah, said, you're telling them all this stuff, but these people, they're going to turn their back on you and not listen to my commands. You're just wasting your breath. Jeremiah 14:11. Now, see, that doesn't sound like the God that we all know and the God that we all talk about, right? But Jeremiah 14:11, the Lord said to me, do not pray for this people. And isn't that something? Don't pray for them. They're not going to listen. They're disobedient. They're going to do their own thing. Now, sometimes I wonder. I mean, I know that prayer still stands in the gap. But sometimes, if there wasn't intercessors and there wasn't someone standing in the gap, there would be a lot of people that would be lost. That's why prayer, like you said, is so important, that we stand in the gap. Now, we don't have an angry God because the blood of Jesus is covering and all, but we still, our prayers are still effective. The effectual, fervent prayer of a man or a woman, it will avail much to God. So Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He wept over the people of God. He wept over them. He kept going before the Lord on behalf of God's people, even when their hearts were stubborn and evil. The last part of Jeremiah 19:15 says, they had stiffened their necks, refusing to hear God's word. Now, some of us would say, you know what, God, I agree with you. But God had put something on Jeremiah. He had put an anointing on Jeremiah. He had put his word in Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah would speak. God knows what he's doing. Even in that time, he knew that Jeremiah was the man to go and stand in the gap for them. Jeremiah would prophesy what God would tell him to say. And Jeremiah was made fun of. They treated him real bad. God was right. They didn't appreciate him at all. You would think that Jeremiah, that fact that he kept coming to them and saying, turn your hearts over to God. Quit doing this evil. But then they begin to make fun of him. Chapter 20. Now, it's a book full of action of Jeremiah. You might want to read it sometime. My goodness, there's a lot going on in there. They beat Jeremiah, and they put him in stocks. They imprisoned him. They bound him up. And see, Jeremiah was human, and he had to be a little bit fed up, right? Surely to goodness he was. Yes, he was. So he began to blame God. I'm so glad the Word of God puts humans in it, aren't you? How many times when nobody's listening to you or you're not listening and trouble is coming every which way and it's all God's fault, right? You know. So he began to blame God. Chapter 20, verse 7 through 9. Oh, Lord, you've deceived me and I was deceived. You're stronger than I and you have prevailed. I have become a laughing stock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout. Violence and destruction, for the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. But something right here, and I wrote this little note. I say, aren't you glad that this prophet knew that if he didn't speak to those people, that they didn't stand a chance at all? See, it's really good when people depend upon you to live right, act right, and be right. Speak right. That's a good thing to know that if you fail, you're going to affect a whole lot of people's life. If you stumble and you don't get back up, it's okay if you fall. A good man, the word of God says, will fall how many what times? Seven times. Well, we, you know, that one's probably been just kind of like when Peter said, how many times did I forgive? Seven? You know, and Jesus said, no, 70 times seven, 70 times seven. Well, that's probably the same thing. You know, 490 times you might fall, but you get back up. You don't stay down. Aren't you glad that Jeremiah didn't? And Jeremiah said, if I say, I will not mention him. I will not speak anymore in his name. I'm done. If I do that, see, God holds us responsible on how we handle those around us. He holds us responsible to the word that he has given us and spoken to us. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, he said, but there is in my heart, as if it were a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I'm weary with holding it in, and I cannot. That's the way every child of God should be. We have to tell about Jesus. We have to say what his word says. We have to declare the name of the Lord so that there can be freedom into our lives, into other people's life. About 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit descended upon 120 people that were praying in the upper room. It started out with 500 who sought Jesus, but it ended up being 120 that were filled with the Spirit of God. These were people that become empowered. It wasn't to be part of a denomination or to build a name for themselves. And it is not today either. We are filled with the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God has something to say in and through us. Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The most powerful people on the planet are people full of the Holy Spirit. It's not political power. It's not financial power. It's not relational power or social media influence power. It's the most transforming. It's the most measurable. It's the most life eternal changing power. And it's called the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit can change a mind that is in concrete almost, that says, I don't believe that. I don't believe like that. And I'm not going to change my mind. You might have come in here today and you might have said, you might have turned off real quick, that says, I'm not going to listen to a woman's preacher. I'm going to turn off my head. But it's the Spirit of God that calls. Forget that I'm a woman, because in God there is no man or female, male or female. It's the anointing of God that makes a difference, and it is the one that will transform us. It will give us life eternal, and it can change our hearts and change our minds. We don't just have potential to do, to serve, to help others to be set free. We have the power to undo the work of the enemy. We are the most powerful people on the planet. It is not the president of the United States. It is not the Republicans. It is not the Democrats. It isn't the man that has the most money. It is God Almighty that is the one that is the most powerful. And if we serve Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we should be willing to open our mouth and say what the Word of God says. Amen? I wouldn't have called me to be a preacher. I was the least likely one that would ever be qualified. I haven't been to seminary yet, and I'm getting kind of old. I'm going to have to hurry up to make it there. But I have been to the school of the Spirit of God. And you can do that too. You can lay yourself before God and say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to speak? Where do you want me to go? How can I serve you best? Because you know what's in me. You know what you put inside of me. And I want what you have in me to come out. I would never have believed what God is doing. Reminds me of a man, Gideon, and his small group of men. Remember that when Gideon started out, his army was huge. It was 22,000 men. And God says, no, you're not. I'm not going to let you go to war with that many men, because then you'll say that you did it. All these men, all these people, they're going to say, oh, they had the best army. No, there was a lot of them. He said, we're going to whittle that down. Got it down to 10,000 men, sent 12,000 home. You read it for yourself and you'll find out the details. Got down to 10,000 and God said, Gideon, nah, that's still too many, because they'll think that they get to victory. They'll think that they won it. They'll tell everybody, look what Gideon's army is capable of doing. He said, no, too many. Read the story. Got down to 300. This is where we come in. So Gideon and his small group of men, when the spirit fell, they blew the trumpets and defeated the Midianites. Judges 7:19 through 22. They divided these 300 into three groups. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. When the guards had just been changed, they blew the trumpets, smashed the pitchers that were in their hands, and the three companies blew the trumpets and shattered the pitchers. Holding the torches in their left hand and in their right hands the trumpets to blow, leaving no chance to use swords. There was no swords that come out at all. God had already told Gideon, this is my battle. This isn't yours. You just be obedient. See, the battle's not ours. It's the Lord's. And we're trying to fight battles God never asked us to fight. Leaving no chance to use swords. And they cried, the sword of the Lord in Gideon. They stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the Midianite army ran, and they cried, and all fled. When Gideon's man blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set every Midianite sword against his comrade and against all the army. And the army fled as far as Bethshitta, towards Zerarah, as far as the border of Abomahola by Taboth. And I know those weren't any right. But anyway, think about this. The army, the Midianites, they were convinced that the swords were there. They were convinced that there was a big army out there. If you'll leave things in God's hand, you'll see the enemies begin to turn on each other. They start fighting each other. We see it right now. We see it happening. They turn on each other. They're going to kill each other with their swords. And God says, a battle is mine. This was a man that thought he was the least among the tribes. You may feel like you're the least. Gideon, he's like, God, you know, I can't do that. So many of the servants of God, that's just exactly how they feel. God, I can't do that. See, you start right there being qualified because you think you can't do that. But you can. This is a man that obeyed the word of God. And he fought the battle. And because he fought the battle, he won the war. We will never win a war if we don't stand firm in the middle of a battle. Because some of us think we're at war, and sometimes we are, but if we haven't won a few battles and we haven't stood in those and we've run and tucked tail in those, we can't win a war. Holy Spirit-filled people know how to fight. Fight, what does that mean? Glad you asked that this morning, because it doesn't mean that we fight with the natural swords, the guns. We don't fight with a post on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or text message. That's not how we handle. That's not how we fight. Shame on you if you fight your battles online. Don't do it. Because you're as powerful online as you can be in person. If you can take and you can put out the word of God or a positive attitude instead of fighting back on something that you don't agree on. It's time that the Church of Jesus Christ gets a God backbone and knows how to stand up and proclaim the word of God and act right. It's with a fire that's shut up in our bones. It's a fire inside of our being that can help but declare the word of truth, that God is truth, that truth will prevail. We fight with the power of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. We're going to have to set aside cool dignity and begin to understand that our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Zechariah 4:6 says this, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. My Spirit, says the Lord. See, Holy Ghost people, Spirit-filled people know how to fight. We're not cowards. We're not going to tuck tail and run. Because when I fell, when I got knocked down, and I've got knocked down. But I want the enemy to know that I got back up. We need to let him know I'm not done yet because God's not done with me yet. Get back on our feet and we go again. Amen? We're going to stand up and we're going to confront that which is sent to stop us. Because the enemy, it's been, I almost say laughable, but I won't say that except that Job said at calamity, let us laugh. At calamity, let us laugh. Because sometimes it gets pretty crazy, don't it? And sometimes about the only thing you can do is just laugh. Yeah, right? It's like, this is too obvious. And we've talked about that so much since fasting and praying and all the different things that have come and hindered families. And like the closer you get into God, the more that you're fought, the more that the enemy will throw things at you. But hey, be of good cheer. God's sent Jesus Christ, and he's delivered us out of every one of those situations. How do we fight our battles? With our hands lifted high, singing hallelujahs for victories that are won because he has heard us when we pray. Doesn't mean I see it, doesn't mean I feel it, but it does mean that I know it. There are things that I know, and that's the word of God. And I know his faithfulness, and I can see through my journey of life, even when I didn't know what God was doing, even when I didn't recognize all of his goodness, I can look and see how faithful my God has been. And I know he's been faithful to you. There were times I wasn't faithful, but God was always faithful. We don't fight through worldly means. We fight prophetically. Awesome word yesterday, Luke. Thank you. We say what the word of God says about us. We fight our battles with a shout of triumph. That's why praise and worship can be so powerful when a church begins to get together. And maybe you've had a really rough week. Maybe a lot of things have happened. We've all lived a lifetime this last week, haven't we, Dwayne? Dwayne lost his mother on Tuesday morning or Wednesday. Wednesday morning, lost his mom. But you know what? He was up here this morning praising God because not because his mom died, but because God is still God. And because in spite of everything that the enemy tries to throw our way, we still have a hallelujah. We still have a praise in the middle of our struggles. That's how we fight our battles. We declare what the blood of Jesus has done and covered us. The breath of God that's inside of me and the presence of God that follows me everywhere I go. But it's not just because I'm special. It's because I am filled with the Spirit of God. I asked Jesus Christ in my heart. I received Him. I received the Holy Spirit into my life. I had an experience with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. And I'm not saying because you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the power of God. But I will tell you that it helps me a lot. When I don't know how to pray, the Spirit of God will pray through me. And that is not mixed up with my want list and do list. It is perfect before God. Your success is not determined by what someone says about you. Aren't you thankful? Have you ever had anybody that doesn't think you're all that? Well, I don't think I'm all that either, so. But I think that whatever he says I am, I am. But not because in my eyes, but in his eyes. He sees you as his. He sees you as his, as your daughter, as his daughter. He sees you as his son. He sees us through eyes of loving kindness because Jesus took care of it, so we don't have Jeremiah to experience in our life because Jesus paid that price for us. Our success as a church doesn't depend on what others say about us. Our success as a church is when we fulfill the mandate that God has given us here at Solid Rock. And it depends on how we fight our battles. How do we fight our battles as a church together? Well, we do what we've been doing. We come in and we pray 21 days in January. We're coming on Tuesday mornings. We're coming once a month on Saturdays. And we're praying in between. We're fasting and praying. And you say, well, what if God doesn't answer? Oh, but what if he does? Just sit back and watch, because I've had too many prayers in my life answered that I would ever think that God couldn't and wouldn't do it. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit to cause us to man up. We need to man up as an individual. What does that mean? That means know who we are. That we have something to protect. It's not just for the men. The men are to protect their homes spiritually, to make sure that there is not any powers of darkness coming in, bringing oppression and depression, hurting our children and our spouses. But it's also up to us women to be praying women that know the word of God. And when the enemy comes against our children, we have a word. Doesn't matter how old they are, we have a word of the Lord to speak over their lives and declare that the enemy is not going to take our children. It's not going to take our homes, not going to take our life, not going to take the freedom that Jesus Christ has given us. Amen? The Holy Spirit empowers us to rebuke. What does rebuke mean? It simply means to tell the devil, get out. Rebuke him. Rebuke the devil and he will flee. That's what the word of God said. Acts 13:9. Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, stared at Elymas, a man full of the devil, using the things of God for the purpose of controlling people. Paul wasn't speaking to the man. He was speaking to the Spirit. And he was declaring and letting that Spirit know that you can't speak here. You can't disrupt here. You're not going to win. And God is looking for some people that will say, not in my house, not in my church. We're not going to do it. We're not to my child. We're not going to do it. Parents, be you know, we can't be like a helicopter parent all of our life. But we don't want brokenness in our families. We don't want our children broken. We don't want our wives and our husband broken. And we don't want our community to be a community that doesn't have a heart after God. People in our schools to be schools that bullies are going to rule and bullies are going to take charge. No, we need some godly men and women in our schools that'll stand up and say, not in this school. We need to be a people that will stand up and say, no, not in our town, not Not in our homes, not in our church. We got to stand up and tell the enemy, no. Paul said, you are the son of the devil, and you are perverting the truth, and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. That's what we've got to do. We've got to begin to say, no, devil, you are perverting the truth with my children. You're perverting the truth in my house. You are perverting the truth, and I will not put up with it. We've got to get to the place where we tell him he's trespassing in our homes. We're not gonna tolerate things. We have the power to rebuke. Sometimes we just need to rebuke ourselves first. I heard a lot of amens. We got to get this soulish thing right. What am I thinking on? What's a lofty thing that keeps talking to me all day long? What do I let out of my mouth all the time? What is it? We need to rebuke. Come on, my soul. Come on, my soul. You need to get with it. You need to begin to sing a song of worship so you can get that thought out of your mind. Come on, my soul. We need to rebuke in the name of Jesus. We need to be the people that will open our mouth and declare and tell the enemy to get out. Amen. I've said this before. Worship team, you can come on up. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again because I really truly believe it. When my children were young, we traveled and we lived in a big bus on the road. And I was with my children a lot. I taught them in school. And so they were around me all the time. But I still was a nosy mom. Come on. Come on. We need some nosy moms and some nosy dads. Nosy moms and go tell dad. And we need some men that'll say, oh, that's not going to go on in our house. You're not invading their privacy. They're in your home and they're still eating at your table. Well, if your kids, you're picking up on rebellion of any kind, mom, dad, get some anointing oil, and you go when they're asleep and you anoint their bedroom. You go around and you, every doorpost, you begin to say, in the name of Jesus, you lying devil that's trying to steal my son, trying to steal my daughter, you're lying to them. They're beginning to feel they're not worth anything because that's what they're told by somebody else. Somebody else is telling them they're not smart. They may have a teacher, but you tell them that they are smart. You tell them that they are called by God. And you let the enemy know that he's not going to get your children. And when they start snoring, go ahead and anoint their little heads. Even if they're 19 and they're still there. You may think that's old school, but I'll tell you what. I practiced it with my children. Our children are fighting some big battles at school. With friends, with media. Oh my gosh, the media bullies. And children. When I say children, that can be up to 30. See, we never get any sense until we get in our 50s. But we have an assignment. We are men and women of God, full of the Holy Spirit. And we are on assignment. And if you, like Jeremiah, you should have a fire inside of you that says, that's my child. That's my brother. That's my sister. That's my husband. That's my wife. And I have a fire shut up in my bones. I'm not going to be still. I'm going to rebuke the enemy and say, honey, just wait a minute, because we're fighting and this is a devilish thing. This is not a God thing. You may have to say, darling, shut up. Get it right. This is good stuff. You don't even have to pay extra day for any of this. except you got to go do it. You may have to tell yourself first, what have I let my mind do? Oh, there's been some minds that have been galloping everywhere. My goodness, they're out in fields they never should have gotten in, and you don't even know how to get back. I'll tell you how to get back. You want to know how to get back? You want to know how to get that thing broken off of you? You begin to say what the Word of God says. You begin to pray. You begin to fast. You begin to get determined, and you be like Jeremiah. Oh, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm not going to stand by and let the enemy have my children. I'm not going to let the enemy have the children of our church. We're going to be examples. We're going to be good examples before them. We're going to pray for them. I'm not going to let my brother and sister get destroyed, because God, even though I might be discouraged, even though I don't know what to do next, even though this is hard right now, I have to do what is right, because if I don't, I'm going to call someone else to think that you don't work. I'll call somebody else to think that this is not real. I've said lots of times, I thank God for a church that keeps my feet to the fire and keeps that fire in my belly, because if I didn't do what God called me to do, if I couldn't act right, be right, if I took offense at everything everybody says or what they don't like about me, went through one of the hardest times of our life several years ago. The Lord gave me the scripture, Isaiah 41. I believe it's verses 9 and 10. Fear not, for I'm with you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And those who have come against you, you will look around.
Come on.
And they will be as nothing at all. You'll look and just like, God.
Come on.
Well, see, they're like that army that Gideon took to the battlefield. They got so messed up between themselves. They had so many problems of their own. I wasn't their problem no more. I don't know how many times God has said to Pastor and I, this battle's not yours, it's mine. Leave it alone. When people write bad stuff about us on the internet, we have a lot of our staff, they're absolutely amazing, but we tell them, don't give it any attention. Turn the light out. Pay no mind to those that don't like you. I will not be a Jeremiah and say, look, every time I say something for you, look what they're doing to me. No, look what God you can do for us. Look what you have done for us. Look what you'll continue to do. The battle is mine, saith the Lord. We have resurrection power because we're full of the Holy Ghost. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Boy, now that's a hard one for me to accept, but it excites me at the same time. It's like, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, my goodness, it dwells in me. We are powerful. We're powerful in the enemy's eyes. He just hopes we never find that little secret out. He hopes that we'll never get it straight and we'll just never rebuke ourselves or never rebuke the enemy out of our home. He hopes we'll just stay, que sera, sera, sera. But boy, if we can get the revelation, the same spirit that Jesus was raised from the dead, now, look, he dwells in me. He dwells in me. The Bible doesn't say, be still and feel I am God. Too many times we go down with what we feel and what we see. But how about we just leave it here today? How about we believe the message? How about we just believe that that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us? How about we believe that when we speak to the powers of darkness over our home, you may have to do it every day. You may not see a breakthrough for a long time. I've said this before too. There was a time in my life where I truly forgave. But I would weep and weep, and I'd say, God, here I am again. I do forgive, but I don't feel like I've forgiven. because it still hurts. But oh, there was one day when I looked around and that hurt was no longer there. I didn't feel that anymore. And I thank God for every situation I've ever went through, because it shows me the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. It shows me that God, through my worst times of life, and there's been a lot of them, but there are some that were my very worst, I learned so much. And I thank God for every mountain. I thank God for every valley. Because otherwise, I wouldn't know what my God can do. Because sometimes we're too lazy to read all this. But boy, when it comes to our life and we begin to get revelation of what this word says, it changes us as people. Bible doesn't say, be still and feel I'm God. It says, be still and know. We can leave this house knowing that He is God. And oh yeah, the enemy doesn't like you taking a stand. The enemy doesn't like you spending time in the Word. The enemy doesn't like you praying and fasting. The enemy wants you to keep saying everything you're saying right now. He wants you to keep feeling sorry for yourself and saying negative things. But God says, if you'll say what I say, I'll bring great victory to your life. I'm going to change your life. The Word of God says that we can cast down every imagination. How many imaginations are going on in your mind? Cast down every imagination and every high thing. What's a high thing? It's that thing that you keep thinking about and you can't get it out of your mind. Because that, the Word of God says, it's exalting itself. Every vain imagination, every high thing that has tried to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. That's what we have to do. Because see, God's got a purpose for every one of us. It's time to open our mouth and say what we know. What do you know? Do you know more than what you're saying? Do you know more than what you're feeling? Do you know more than what you're seeing? Do you know what the Word of God says about you and about your situations? See, it's more powerful than what I feel. Freedom comes from knowledge. John 8:32, would you stand to your feet? Then you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, we're not victims. We are victorious through Jesus Christ. Like Jeremiah, I have a fire. Shut up in my bones. But not just my bones. It's in my innermost being and in my soul. That's why I know that my God is real, because I feel Him in my soul. I know that I know that I know that I know. I have asked Luke to come and do the altar service today. Because I feel like there are people here in this house today that God has been speaking to. And we want to give you, we want to pray for you. We want to lay hands on you today. Because see, we're a mighty church. We're a strong church. We're a strong people. Because we have the Word of God, the power of the Holy Ghost living in us.